Welcome to our brand new series, Reinvent. And we're going to talk about reinventing ourselves because it's very possible we all have areas in our lives where we're not where we want to be. And we're not where God wants us to be. And so we're going to talk about the process of that. We're going to kind of dig into it and talk about it from several different angles. And just see, is it possible to get a do-over? Who's glad in the Lord you can get a do-over? Doesn't matter how old you are, you can have a do-over. You guys remember that when you were playing games as a kid? You know, if you weren't doing well, I want a do-over. Well, you can get a do-over. You can do a reset. You can do a reboot, a refresh, whatever word you particularly like. But we can reinvent ourselves. And we're going to see here certain things will precipitate reinvention many times. Things like boredom. You're just bored with your life. Things like desperation. You're in a season of desperation. Things like change. It could be that you're in a season of change. Maybe your last child moved out of the house and is off to college or getting married. Maybe you had your first child. Maybe you've moved to a new city. I mean, there's a lot of things that change in our lives, and those are great opportunities to reinvent. And it may not be anything that really triggered it. It's just you have a desire in your heart. You're just like, I'm ready for something new and different. God, what do you have for me? So that's a good season, a good time to reinvent. And we're going to, like I said, we're going to get into it here in just a bit. So let me pray, and we'll trust the Lord to help us get everything out in our times together that each and every person needs, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, that you are in the business of transformation and regeneration and reinventing our lives over and over and over. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take our time together, be the teacher, be the revealer. I ask you to customize each message for each person, Lord, and may eternal fruit be the result of our time together. May your people be blessed. May they be fulfilled in all that you've called them to do. May each and every one stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody that agreed said, amen. Amen. Okay, so today we're just going to get it started, lay a foundation. And we're going to talk about reinvent what? Like specifically, what areas of our lives? What are we talking about when it comes to reinventing? Next week, then, we're going to get into sort of the nitty-gritty, the process of this reinvention. And we're going to begin to ask questions. What do you want? And we're going to talk about that from numerous different angles. Week 3, what do you have? God's never going to use what you don't have. He's only going to use what you do have. And in fact, in Judges, it tells us to go. The Lord told Gideon, go in the strength that you do have. So what do you have? We'll get into that. Week 3, week 4, what will you do? Of course, that one's going to take us 2 weeks because there's a lot of fun things to talk about in that week. What will you do? Both weeks 4 and 5. And then week 6, why? What's the why behind the what? What's the motivation? What's going to keep you doing it? Because, you know, everybody gets excited at the beginning of the marathon. Everybody gets excited at the starting line. You know, when Pastor Jeff ran the Chicago Marathon years ago, we were all at the starting line getting ready to watch him kick off into this race, 26 miles around Chicago. Oh, my gosh, it's amazing. 30,000 some people ran the race. That's like a small city. Ran the race. 30,000 started. And man, everybody's pumped up at the beginning, but do you know at the end, as they were coming into the finish line, limping, crawling, you know, barely getting staggering, and then some got that jolt, you know, at the very end. But as they were coming into the finish line, do you know it wasn't 30,000? It was a lot less. And so the encouragement is, let's get started, but then let's also finish. And the why behind your what is what helps you stay in the race. And all the people said, amen. So that's where we're going to go. So today, reinvent what? All right. Here's a passage I want you to take a look at. And we've looked at this many, many times over the years. But again, the Lord, I love it because the Lord will take a passage or scriptures that we've preached on many times or that you've read many times. But don't you love it that the Bible is so layered and the revelation in a verse, it's like an onion. The revelation in a verse, you just keep peeling it back and the Holy Spirit just keeps giving you new insights, new practical helps for your life. Well, this passage is one of those. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9, Jesus spoke this parable. Jesus spoke a parable and said, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keepers of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I don't find any. I find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and said to him, Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it. Verse 9, and if it bears fruit, well. And if not, after that, you can cut it down. So this is a great picture of our lives and this idea of reinvention. It's this idea that in your life and in my life, we have areas that it's been 3 years. Maybe it's been longer than 3 years. It's been a while. And you come looking into different areas of your lives for fruit. And of course, the Lord's looking for fruit. And in certain areas, we don't see any. And so we can get discouraged. And at times, just like the master in this story, we can want to just cut it down. But I think the Lord's encouragement to us is going to be this. Let's give it another year. Let's give it another year before you cash in your chips, before you throw in the towel, before you stay in discouragement, before you think it's not possible for you. Come on, let's give it one more year, but then let's be intentional. Let's do something. There is a process. And what is the process? He says here, let's dig around the roots and let's fertilize it. Let's be really on purpose about this reinvention thing. Because how many of y'all know, it's just not going to accidentally happen. Right? We're going to be intentional, and we're going to dig around the roots just a bit and fertilize over these next several weeks together. And then watch what the Lord will do. Who's willing to give it a year? Let's give it a year. You know, sometimes I know in the Christian mindset, sometimes we think God's just going to do things instantly overnight. And there are some things that happen rather quickly. But who's found out in your Christian life, in God, in your walk with the Lord, it is a transformation process. But it doesn't have to take 10 years. It doesn't have to take 20 years. I mean, we get a Bible pattern here. If you don't see fruit in an area in 3 years, if you don't see some evidence of fruit in areas of our lives within 3 years-ish, well, then it's a good time to evaluate and go, God, help me to reinvent. What's the deal here? I need to dig around the roots and fertilize. I need to do something different. And I'll do that, and then we'll give ourselves a year and see what results. And all the people said, amen. So let me share this video with you. This is going to be a fun little video. You guys, all of us, are going to get to see this in real time. One of our staff members, also a member of the worship team, is Grace. And Grace was trained as a classical singer. You're going to see it in the video. But she's got a desire to have a reinvention. So let's take a look at this video, and then we're going to watch her progress throughout the series. All right, let's take a look.
Hi, my name is Grace Ashenfelter. I have been singing pretty much my whole life, but probably for the last 12 or 13 years since high school. I am primarily trained in classical singing, which I studied in college for about 4 years under private voice lessons. I have been on the worship team here at BFC for about 3 years now. Started at the cathedral when we had that service and then transitioned over here about a year ago. My voice right now, I would say, is still in that classical style where it's very light. I use a ton of head voice. But where I would love to be is that more contemporary style, what you hear on the radio, what you see on worship sets. Personally, I would just like to have more power. I would like to have more mix of my head and chest voice together. And in the last few years, I've kind of gone through this journey with the Lord on just trying to see what that looks like, what singing means to me. It used to be that I wanted it as a career, but I learned that it's not something the Lord has called me to do in my profession, but rather just something to use to glorify Him, something to use as a way to connect with Him, a way to interact with the Lord and to hear from the Lord. I'm super excited to work with Gabby this month and hone in on the skills that the Lord has given me, but also grow in that capacity, and I can't wait to see where I'm at the end of the month.
Hi, my name is Gabby Lorien. I've been in staff here at Valley Family Church for 4 years. I oversee the vocalist for worship team, and I am super excited to work with Grace. I've been working with Grace on the worship team for about 2 years, and I'm really excited about this opportunity for her because she's really been classically trained in the past, and so I always tell my vocalist, you need to expand yourself and be able to be versatile in the way that you sing. You know, can you sing country? Can you sing classical? Can you sing worship? It really shows where you are in your road of being a vocalist. So I'm really excited to work with Grace and to just expand her capacity on what she has and not be so stuck in maybe what she's learned. So over the next 4 weeks, me and Grace are going to be meeting up and we're going to be talking and just really going through the song that she's going to be singing. Each time we're going to have her do some stuff that's really going to be out of her comfort zone, whether it's warm-ups or techniques she's maybe never used before, just to really make her expand herself and her vocal capability. And this is all going to be leading up to September 30th. Grace is going to be singing our opener that day. So she's going to be singing Who I'm Meant to Be. I love this song. I think it's going to be a great song for Grace to sing. It really just talks about not letting things in your life hold you back and really being who God's called you to be. So stay tuned this month as Grace reinvents herself.
So it'll be fun to watch the process unfold right in front of our very own eyes. So let's talk about this whole process then. The idea that, you know, areas of our lives, you know, that God wants to reinvent. What areas? Reinvent what? What areas does he want to reinvent? And we've, you know, shared this diagram looking at real self and ideal self. And I want to take us sort of back to this diagram, take a look at this, and then take some time just to think with the Holy Spirit's help. Okay, God, help me locate myself. Help me see where I'm at and where you want me to be. So they'll put this up on the screen. You see a little image here that shows ideal self and real self. Real self on the bottom half, ideal self on the top half. Ideal self, all of us, we have these thought bubbles. All of us have in our mind what we see our ideal self as when it comes to our spirit, soul, and body. We're going to break it sort of down that way and talk about the process, spirit, soul, and body, even though really the truth is we are one person. You know, we are just one being, and all of that overlaps in many cases. But right at the same time, it's helpful to think about yourself as we get into this series, to think about yourself spiritually. That's your relationship with the Lord. That's what the Bible calls the hidden man of the heart, the inner man, the real you, the part of you that contacts God, the part of you that God speaks to. That's the real you. Sometimes we say it this way. It's the person behind your eyeballs. That person. That person that you know. That person that God knows. Your spirit life. Your spiritual life. That's one part. And then you have in your mind what would ideal self look like. Then our body. This physical body we live in. Our house. Our outfit for earth, you know, as we say. This body that we have, that God gives us to steward, listen, it's so important. Sometimes people can minimize it, but really it's not to be minimized because it's our body that allows us to be on the earth. When your body is not functioning, you legally cannot be on earth. Your spirit man has to go somewhere. While your body functions well, you get to be on earth and you get to fulfill your destiny and your purpose and live out the intentions God has for you. So taking care of our bodies and seeing what God wants to say about our bodies is very important. And we're going to talk about that because for some of you, maybe the reinvention that's going to happen in this next year isn't even as much spiritual. You might be in a great place spiritually, but you might think, man, but physically, I am not well. I am not feeling good. I'm not healthy. I'm not full of energy. Then the third area is the soul. And the soul, the Bible describes our soul as our mind, our emotions, and our will. Our mind, our emotions, and our will. And again, you have in your mind the ideal you when it comes to your mind, emotions, and will. Sometimes we say your personality. The person you are, the person that most of us would know, you know, that personality of you, mentally, how are you doing, in your emotions, and then in your will, and even sometimes we minimize the will, but do you know it's, the will is so hugely important. I mean, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. You know, he didn't want to go to the cross in his will as a human taking on the sins of the world, although he was 100% God. He laid aside his God quotient and went to the cross as a man to be a perfect substitute for you and I. And in that garden, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Well, it's important that you and I have healthy wills. You don't want to be a weak-willed person, nor do you want to be a strong-willed person to a fault. So our soul, we have these thought bubbles on what the ideal self looks like. But then real self, we have some things listed here. You know, sometimes real self is actually this. We're in debt. We're feeling rejected, unhappy. We're in a pattern of bad relationships, depressed, feel like a failure, overweight, unstable, proud, tired, not Christ-like, no friends, lonely, stuck, just feel stuck, timid, selfish, addicted. We lack empathy, feel like a failure, feel unloved, unhealthy, anxious. I mean, you could obviously increase that list. Sometimes that's real self. But you have, and God has for all of us, an ideal self, if you will. The difference or the distance between the two is called the gap. There's a gap there, and that's where you dig around the roots and fertilize. That's where we're going to spend time. God, help us. How can we work on the gap and reinvent some things in our lives so that spirit, soul, and body, we can begin to walk into a greater degree your ideal for us, what you've called us to and what you want to do, not just to us, but what you want to do through us. Amen. So we're going to take each one, just kind of go through each one. I'm going to tell you some stories of different people that have done some fun things with it as well. So let's take our spirit first. Let's talk about that just for a minute. Spiritually, just to kind of begin to set the bar and put a bullseye out there and begin to give us some things to shoot for, to think about. God, what could you do in a year? What could you do in my life in a year spiritually? Well, the ideal oftentimes spiritually is that we would know God deeply. I mean, God is knowable and he wants to be known. Aren't you glad he's not hiding? Like the God of the universe, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit wants to be known. He made himself knowable. And you might think, well, I know about God. But do you know, he doesn't just want you to know about him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know his voice. He wants you to have an intimate, personal relationship with him. And what that does for you is it helps your body and your soul. You realize you're never alone. You always have help. You always have somebody with you. There's no way you could be lonely, ultimately, because you have someone with you all the time. You have a best friend. You have friends in high places. God wants to be known deeply in our ideal spiritual life. And again, I know for many of us, you are living these things at differing degrees. But we've got a lot of people here, a lot of people watching online, so everybody's in a different place. But we're talking about just the idea, what could you be reinvented to? You could know God better. All of us could, no matter how well you know the Lord. You might be the person in the room who knows the Lord the best, can still know him better. And more deeply and more personally. Number two, or another bullet there, is to this person spiritually is more like Jesus. Now, we all could use some help there. Amen. We could all be more like Jesus. And we're going to talk about how does that happen. That's a pretty high bar, but that's what we're called to. We're called to be conformed into his image. Spiritually, you can be more like Christ a year from now. People could look at you and go, what has happened and what have you done with your former self? Because you look a lot more like the Lord. You talk a lot more like the Lord. You radiate a lot more like the Lord. Amen. What else? You're loved and loving others. Of course, we've talked a lot about that around here. It's not that we loved him, it's that he loved us. But that revelation, that reality, some of you, maybe it hasn't clicked yet for you. Maybe you haven't really clicked into this idea. I can rest in the fact that it's not that I love the Lord. It's not about all my performance, about all my good works, about all my keeping the checklist. It's that he loved me. I can live in this place of rest, and then that frees me up to love others. Spiritually, you can be reinvented to have that be your reality, not just your theory. What else? I listed on here, it says, you can be patient and kind. Now we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Patient, kind, full of peace and joy, gentle, self-controlled. These are all the fruit of the Spirit. You can be aligned with God's purpose. You might feel right now in your life, I am so perpendicular to God's purpose for my life. I am so out of alignment. My tires shake as I cruise through life. My wheels are shaking all the time. Something's just not right. I am out of alignment with God, and I've got to get that fixed. I've got to reinvent myself to be walking in step with the Lord. The Bible says, how can two walk together except what? Except they be agreed. You can bring so much peace into your life simply by agreeing with God. I mean, just start there. Just agree with God. God, I am perpendicular to you, but we are going to fix that. We're going to reinvent ourselves spiritually, and I'm going to agree with you. I'm not even saying you're doing any actions yet. You're like literally just agreeing. That'll be a mental battle for some of us. Agree with God. Walk with the Lord. Get in alignment with his purpose. Living for an audience of one. Maybe you're a people pleaser and it's been hard for you. It's like, oh, I want to live for the Lord, but my friends. But let's get reinvented. Let's just choose to live for an audience of one, whatever the cost. A lifestyle pleasing to the Lord. Some of you, you may have some addictive issues. You may have some things that are going on in your lifestyle, and you're like, man, it's not pleasing to the Lord. I know it. God, help me to get reinvented, transformed, helped in my lifestyle that is pleasing to the Lord. Leading people to Christ. This is part of our spiritual life, isn't it? We're blessed. We're walking with the Lord, but for what purpose? To help others. To be a blessing. To lead other people to the Lord. To be a light. I mean, you know, we had the memorial service yesterday for Harrison, and it was just phenomenal to see how many people came out that he had touched. At his young age of 22 years old, how many people he had touched with his life and led to the Lord. So let's have, this is our ideal. God, I've maybe led a couple people to you in my lifetime, but you know, it's time to step that up. Some of you, I know you've never led anyone to the Lord, and you're missing out on one of the greatest joys that God has given you. What if you said in 1 year, God, this year, reinvent my life. This year, help me, Holy Spirit. I want to lead one person to the Lord. Listen, if everybody in the church did that, think about this. If everybody in the church said, God, reinvent my life, help me to lead one person to the Lord this year. Do you know the church would double? I mean, literally, it would double. So it's gonna pull you out of your comfort zone, isn't it? A reinvention is going to pull you out of your comfort zone, but you're bored with your life anyways. Come on. Okay, what else? You're a worshiper and a prayer. Some of you, you might be like, man, I come to church and I'm like, they're into that worship thing and these hands are going up around me and I just don't know what to do with that. Well, here's what to do. Put your hands up. Stick them up. Get your hands up. Be a worshiper. But you can't just fake it. Nobody's asking you to fake it. It's got to be real to you. God, reinvent my life. If Jesus said the Father's seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth, the God Almighty's eyeballs are searching throughout the whole earth, the Bible says, to show himself strong on the behalf of those who are fully committed to him. And Jesus took it a little step further and said, and he is searching for those who will be worshipers in spirit and in truth. This is your year to bust out. This is your year to pull a hand out of a pocket. And to be a worshiper. Amen. And to be a prayer. Worship and prayer, they're hand in hand, and that'll really help your walk with God. To be a person who prays, who even knows why to pray. What do I pray about? If God's going to do it anyways, why do I need to pray? Well, apparently God's not going to do it anyways because he told us to pray. Apparently he's not going to just do everything anyways because Jesus said you have not because you ask not. So there's something about prayer. There's something about asking. And God has so much more for all of us. So we get reinvented to become worshipers and become prayers. What else? To be full of faith, spirit-filled. To make disciples, lead people to the Lord. But Jesus, ultimately, the last thing Jesus said, have you ever thought about this? Talking about reinventing our lives. God, I am a Christian and I come to church once a month and I thought that was good. But the Lord's saying, yeah, I've got more for you. I want to reinvent your whole spiritual life. And the last words Jesus said, he said, go into all the world and make disciples. Make followers, make learners of me, Jesus said. That's our commission, y'all. That's every one of us. That's our commission. And maybe this is your year to say, okay, I've led some people to the Lord, but this is my year to disciple two people. Literally, I'm going to have breakfast with two people, and we're going to get discipled in the basics. We're going to go through a book together. I'm going to help fulfill what Jesus said, go ye to do. Help me, Holy Spirit. Reinvent my life. I thought that was just for the pastors. I thought that was just for the staff around here. No, Jesus said that to all the believers. Go and make disciples. What else? Well, a person who loves the word. Loves God's word. You know, if you haven't read the Bible in a long time, you can tell how thirsty and how hungry somebody is, right? By what they eat. If you're really thirsty, if you're really hungry, right? If you're really starving, you are so hungry, and somebody handed you a saltine. Is that going to do it? It's not going to satisfy your hunger. And it could be when it comes to the word. And of course, the Lord has promised to satisfy the hunger and the thirst, that he'd fill those who are hungry, those who are thirsty. But it could be spiritually, you might think, you know, I go to church and it's all good and stuff, but you know, really, I'm not that hungry. I don't read my Bible. I don't listen to my Bible on tape. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't really spend a lot of time in the word. All that is, it's just an indication of a lack of hunger. Apparently, a saltine is satisfying you. But God has more for you. Because who knows, once you've tasted a saltine, that's fine. But then once you go have a nice filet mignon wrapped in bacon with some mashed potatoes, asparagus with pink Himalayan salt, who knows, you can't be happy with a saltine. Amen. But you want to have the Lord stir up some hunger in you this year. Reinvent your spiritual life. And people, again, will look at you and go, oh, my goodness, look at you. Walking, talking Bible these days. Take it as a high compliment. And all the people said, amen. Here's a verse. Let me share a verse with you and then a story. This is in 2 Corinthians. And I want you to get encouraged in this verse. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Well, there's a lot in that passage. He's telling us a lot of things, but he's saying, hey, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, when you turned to the Lord took away the veil. You have an unveiled face. You can come in with boldness into God's presence. You can have a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. Spiritually, we're talking about. He says, and now here's the thing. You want to reinvent your life. You want some transformation, some reinvention, a reboot, a refresh. You want all that? Here's the secret. He says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's what causes us to be transformed. Okay, let's just give a couple comments on that. The idea is this, however you see God, however you see Jesus, however you behold him, beholding, looking as in a mirror, he's saying, however you see God, however you see Jesus, however you behold him, whatever his reflection looks like to you, that's what you become. You're transformed into that same image. So in other words, that's why it's so important, and that's why one of the things we endeavor to do all the time through worship, through the messages, is help all of us see Jesus as who the Bible has described him to be, the revelation of Jesus. The Bible calls it the beauty of the Lord, to see how good he is. That he's good all the time. He's a giver. He's always giving good gifts to his children. Jesus said, if you being evil give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? Now listen, we get pushback on that. People want to see a different Jesus. People want to see a different, more religious Jesus who's not that good, who's a little more upset, a little more displeased. But our job is to get into the Word individually and then as preachers to preach the Jesus of the Bible. Because the more you behold Him, the more you see His mercy, the more you see how merciful He is, the more you see how long-suffering He is. He does not have a short fuse. The more you see how patient He is, how kind He is. He is so kind. In fact, it's His kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not His scolding. It's not His judgmentalness. It is not His critical spirit. It is His kindness. It's His empathy. It's His love. It's His truth. The more you see Jesus that way, you are transformed into the very same image. Come on. If you find yourself struggling with being critical or being a cynic or being mad, don't be a mad Christian. Sheesh. There's a lot of mad Christians out there. What are you mad about? Jesus wasn't mad. In fact, the Bible says, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. It goes on to say in the Bible that Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy above His fellows, above everybody else, because He didn't like unrighteousness. Absolutely. He loved righteousness. When you love righteous things, when you love righteousness, you should be anointed with the oil of joy. And the more you see Jesus that way, the more you're transformed. What are we talking about? Reinvention here. The more you and I are transformed into the very same image. So you say, I need a reinvention. What do? You look at Jesus. You behold Jesus. And it's not a glance. It's a stare. It's a study. You meditate. You think about when He was on earth and He dealt with the woman caught in adultery. Everybody else wanted to stone her and He said, well, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't condone the sin. He just said, go and sin no more, but I'm not going to condemn you. See Jesus feeding people that had been traveling with Him for days and they're hungry and they're starving, and see Jesus as the miracle worker to meet the need, to meet the hunger of the people. He is so willing to meet your hunger. He multiplied loaves and fishes to feed some hungry people. I wonder what would He multiply to feed you. However you behold Him, however you see Him, you're transformed into the very same image. What? By the Spirit. So this is the cool part. This isn't something you have to force or try to do yourself or strive. This reinvention process. We just position ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit then to reinvent us. This isn't like a self-help seminar. This isn't a motivational seminar. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. It's His work of transformation. But He will transform you into the image that you behold. And some of you will just have to get some new images to behold of who God is, and you will be transformed. Talking about spiritually, and all the people said, amen. Okay, so here's a gal. I like this story of this gal. Her name is Deb Prentice. They'll put her picture up. She's a grandmother. She just finished a 25-year career as a nurse practitioner, and then her husband passed away. So here she is in her early 50s, and she has to reinvent her life. 25 years in the medical profession, and when she was a little girl, she'd always wanted to be a missionary. So she decided, well, maybe I'm a good fit for medical missions. She took a missions trip to Zimbabwe. And while she was there, God began to talk to her because she thought she was going to be stationed at a hospital there and just do medical work there because that was her training. But when she got over there, the Lord spoke to her and said, no, I need you to go to seminary. I want you to come back to Zimbabwe and be a Bible teacher in the seminary here and train up pastors and young people. Well, that wasn't on her radar. But spiritually, she was beholding Him. And so she went to seminary. She ended up going back to Zimbabwe. And she's been there for a number of years. She said this. She says, I love what I do here. 25 years in the medical profession. I'll bet you there's some people here. That would be your story. But what does God have for the second half of your life? How are you going to reinvent yourself for the second half? She says, I love what I do here. I couldn't find a job like this in the States. And all the people said, amen. All right, let's talk about your body. Let's talk about physically. We're just kind of breaking it down today. Set the set the table for where we're going to go in this series. But let's talk about physically. Again, some of you, your whole thing will be, God, reinvent me physically. I just think it's so cool that God's designed our bodies in such a way there can be a metamorphosis. There can be a change. Lots of testimonies around this place of people who have made some choices and they've seen change. 1 Corinthians 9, let's look at this and then we'll look at the chart. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 says, do you not know that all those who run in a race run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run, not with uncertainty, but with certainty. I fight as one, not one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Well, the Apostle Paul is talking about preaching. He's talking about kingdom stuff, but there's a principle there. I discipline my body. I, my spirit man, I bring my body into subjection. Who knows? Your body should not be in charge. Your spirit man is in charge, and then with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can reinvent your body. And there are stories after stories after stories of people who have done that. Let's look at this chart just to give you some things to think about. God, if I were to dig around the roots and fertilize my life in this area of my physical body, what could it look like? I could be healthy. I could be not stressed. I could live in moderation. Maybe some of these addictive patterns I have, maybe I could get into moderation. I could find a good weight to live in. I could be strong. I could eat well. I could have peace of mind. I could have energy. I could be active. I wouldn't be fatigued. Now, of course, we thank God for the medical profession. They're helping us to stay well and to be healthy. But we're talking in this, how's the Holy Spirit going to help us? How's the Holy Spirit going to help us reinvent ourselves physically? And maybe that resonates with some of you more than others. I know we shared, Pastor Jeff and I have shared a number of years ago, we faced a battle, both of us did. But you know, that became a bit of a trigger point for us. That became a bit of a motivator for us to go, okay, you know, we've both been sort of like healthy all of our lives. It's easy to lose weight. It's easy just to live life, blah, blah, blah. Well, then all of a sudden you face something and you're like, okay, we better get serious. If we want to finish the course with strength, if we want to run our race and finish it with joy, if we want to be strong to the end, if we want to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, then we better not hyper-spiritualize it. We better get wisdom from the Holy Spirit and reinvent ourselves physically with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we just began to listen to the Holy Spirit. Okay, Lord, what do you want us to do? What are some of the things that work for us? It works for our schedule. It works for how we think. It works for what we like to do. It works for our body types. What are some things we can do with diet, with eating? What are some just smart things we need to be doing? And so the Holy Spirit's been helping us. And we believe over more time, you'll see our reinvention. But I'm just saying, you have to get serious about it. You have to get serious. For some of you, this may be the time to quit eating certain things and to get serious about your physical health so you can finish your race and live out all of your days in alignment with his purpose. And all the people said, this lady was 92 years old, Gladys Burrell. Previously, she was an aircraft pilot, a mountain climber, a hiker, and a horseback rider. But she is not known for these things. She is known because she completed the Honolulu Marathon at 92. 92. She looks pretty good. Detroit couch potato, Carolyn Hatfield, was 65. She has since moved to Atlanta. She's 65 years old, and she was in corporate work most of her life and living in a cubicle. And just said, I've got to do something. I've got to make a change. In her 50s, she began to get the idea, I need to make a change. I've been living in a cubicle my whole life. So she began to do some new things, and she decided she was going to become an outdoorsman. She got the motivation before her 50th birthday, and throughout her 50s and now into being 65, she's made some dramatic changes. Things like she's a hiker, she's a biker, she's an outdoorsman, she's a zipliner, a tree climber, a mountain rappeller, a sailor, a kayaker, a hang glider, and a skydiver at 65. What did she do? She reinvented herself. Some of you, maybe you've spent, you know, the first half of your life living in a cubicle. But maybe it's time just to say, Holy Spirit, help me out here. What do I need to do physically to get some movement in my life, to change it up? What is it I could do? What is it I should do? And we're going to talk about a lot of these things, of course, in the next couple of weeks as we drill down a little deeper. In our soul, let's wrap up with this. Our soul, that's maybe the part of us that we are most aware of. Our personality, our mind, our emotions, our will. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors, the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. It's reinventing. Let God reinvent you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Of course, the New King James Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renovating of your mind, changing your mind. And that's really going to be the goal of this whole series. Holy Spirit, help us renew our minds this whole series so that we can be transformed. We can be renovated in our soul. What areas of the soul? Let's talk about this, okay? Areas of the soul. Do you feel likable and favored? That's your soul. You're a likable person. You're favored. You're satisfied. Your soul is satisfied with life. You're not disappointed. You don't have a million regrets. And all of us have made mistakes. All of us would do some things differently, but God wants you to be in a place where your soul is satisfied, even satisfied in His mercy. God, I blew it so many times, and I can't redo that, so thank you for mercy. But now the rest of my life, I want to be satisfied. I want to be fulfilled and feel significant. That's what God wants for you. He wants your life to be significant. Your life does matter, but it's no good if He knows it and you don't. Amen. He wants you to know your life is significant. It matters. Talking about your soul, reinventing your soul. If you're married, a happy marriage. This might be the year just to focus on your marriage. Let's reinvent this thing. Come on, let's go back to when we were kids and in love and crazy about each other. Let's date one another again. Let's just go have some fun dates. Let's not just sit in front of the TV all the time. And all the wives said. What else? Happy family. You might think, well, our marriage is fine, but our family's falling apart. We're not close. We're not tight. We don't have fun. I don't like being with my family. It can get reinvented. You can reinvent it. You can make some decisions and see that change with the Holy Spirit's help. Relationships in general, good relationships, your social life. Your intellect growing, financially, being strong financially, being confident, being generous, being happy, being free, making a difference, as we mentioned, emotionally stable, hormonally even. And all the husbands said, turn around is fair play. All right. Always learning and self-aware. You know, self-awareness is a big thing, isn't it? As you get a little older, you get a little bit more self-aware. You think of yourself a certain way when you're young, and then you get older, you go, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? You get self-aware about who you are, but you know, that's good for your soul. That's healthy for your soul to see yourself as you ought, the Bible says. God wants to reinvent your soul. Listen, life's no good if you have this great relationship with the Lord and you're strong and fit and healthy, but nobody likes you. You like you. God likes you. But like if your soul's not in a good place, that's no fun. You want your soul, once again, is what? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. You want the you of you, your personality, to be in a good place. And it can be reinvented. Okay, here's a couple. We'll close with these. Here's a couple. Oprah. Who knew? Oprah reveals how she manages to stay stress-free at 64. Step one. Have $1 billion. Well, there you go. Here's one that's interesting. We're talking about reinventing ourselves. We're just setting the table today. We'll get into it more next week. But here's an interesting number. It's called Dunbar's number. I'd never heard of this. I just recently began to research some of this. Dunbar's number. This person is an Oxford professor and studies all different kind of things. But he's determined that 150 is the number socially, of social relationships that our brain is capable of handling. 150 people, and people, you know, give or take, 120 to 170, but basically the average is 150. And then they give some concentric circles there. They talk about, you know, your very close friends and family, those you'd confide in, 15 people. Your close friends, 50 people, let's say. But this 150 is your tribe. They call it your tribe. These are the people you're inviting to your daughter's wedding. This is your number. These are the people that would show up for you at something. 150 people in your world. Dunbar's number. And then beyond that, of course, you get social media and a lot of other things come into play. But it's interesting. So even relationally, you want to be thinking this year, God, you know, I need to reinvent myself relationally. I mean, at a certain point, your kids are going to move out. And then those friends are gone. So who are you hanging with? Who are you going to dinner with? Who are you having a deep conversation with? Who are you texting? They may not live in this area, but who are your friends? Socially, friendship-wise. I mean, I love that we have small groups here and a number of other ways to connect, but we've heard so many stories over the years of how people have connected in small groups, and those friendships have remained for decades now. Here's what Jim Rowan said. He said, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So this is going to be an important area. Maybe this is what you're going to focus on this next year. You're going to become a friend machine. People are coming over to your house all the time for dinner. You're taking people out for coffee all the time. Because it's a time to reinvent your life socially, relationally. Career-wise, I'll give you a couple more. We'll wrap up with this, okay? Our time's basically up. I'll give you, like, two. This guy, I think, is cool. This is a cool one. Joe, I think you pronounce his name, Maglia. This guy was a coach. He was a coach for, 16 years he was a coach. He turned down the head coaching job at the University of Miami because he realized it was going to take him away from his kids too long. He said, now what am I going to do? He decided to go on Wall Street. He called a bunch of the guys he went to college with, alumni from his college. He called 200 people. 199 of them said, we have nothing for you, Joe. One of them said, I'll give you a chance. Enrolled him in the Merrill Lynch MBA program to get trained. He went on to do some things financially to the point that he became the CEO of Ameritrade. He did that for a number of years and then reinvented his life again because his passion really was coaching. He left Wall Street and then he went back into coaching. He's the head coach of the Coastal Carolinas. What was that all about? This is a guy that just said, I want my life to make a difference. I want to do what's going to be good for my family. I want to do what's going to be good for us financially. And he reinvented himself. Come on, what about you? What could God do in your career? What could God do in your health? What could God do in your relationships? What could God do spiritually? How many of you are a little bit stirred up about the Lord reinventing some things in your world in one year? Amen.